Welcome to the weekly podcast of Vive Church Uganda. Our mission is to love God, love people, and catalyze purpose. We have an active online weekdays altar that you can plug in from wherever you are. Located in the city of Kampala, the Lord led us to birth an outreach ministry to feed and care for people transitioning from homelessness. To learn more, follow us at My Vive Church across all social media platforms. To support this ministry and help us continue to spread God's love, visit www.myvivechurch.org/give.
I love Jesus. I love God so much. And guys, it's not a cliche word. It's not something I'm just throwing out there. I'm a former Muslim, so I come from a very strong Islamic family. My grandfather, Abu Bakr Kachama Mayanja, was the first Islamic graduate in the country. He was a minister from the time he was 23 years old in the colonial government. He transitioned the nation into independence. So there was a spread of Islam from that. And so that's where I come from. I've led prayers in several mosques in the city. I've opened up prayers. I've opened up mosques. When they were starting them as a young boy. So when I say I love Jesus, for me, I don't just say it like people who have grown up Christians. I say it because I know what God has done in my life. You know, I had a past. Like many of us do, I started using drugs at a young age, and just had a back-to-back experience with drugs, and I was just one thing from another thing from another thing, and after a long time, I wasted my life. I was done with life. I was totally done. Now, my mother, she's a Christian. My father is a Haji. Now, there's a story to that. My mother and my father are cousins. So that's how I come. So they couldn't get married. Through that experience, my mother meets Christ from this Islamic family. She meets Christ. She gives her life to the Lord. And she decides that she was going to have me, even though the entire family told her that's a child that dies according to culture. And so she runs away, she hides me, she preserves my life like Moses. So she preserves my life. So my mother, after some time, she can't hide anymore. She takes me to my father's family. After I'm grown. And she tells my father, you do with him what you want to do with him. My father takes me to the mosque. So I am mentored there. I'm trained there. I am raised there, literally. But all this time, my mother keeps praying for me. So even through that time of using drugs and wasting my life, my mother stayed praying for me. So this one day, I am on that building opposite Mabirizi Plaza on this other side. Like Mabirizi Plaza is on this end. So this building, I still don't know its name. I think it's called Ivory. I don't know its name. But anyways, I'm on that building. I've been staying in the basement of that building for 7 weeks. My friend called Alan, who I found sleeping in that same building, was very suicidal, and me and him make plans to, end our lives. We use all these things and they don't work. So he does one thing that works and Alan dies. So 3 days later, I'm saying I'm going to use the same thing he has used to end my life. So I use it. And these guys know this guy is also going to die. And this time around, if they find a second dead body, we are all going to be arrested. So they get me, throw me outside that building. This is about 9 p.m. I'm smelling. I've not taken a shower for 5 weeks. So they throw me out there. People are passing far away from me. I could understand, but I would hear people say, he's a madman, he's crazy. And that's what I appeared. That's what I looked like. So at about 10 p.m., I'm vomiting blood. And I know life is going. I know life is going. For times I would stay with my mother, she would force me to go to church. So I knew a little about God, this God. So I pray to this God, not Allah. I pray to this God. And I say, God, if you're really there, if you're true like they say, if you can save my life today, because my friend died, if you can save me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And guys, this is now about 11 p.m. My mother walks past me. At 11 p.m., she doesn't see me. She's with my little sister. She looks at me and she pulls her. She tells her, Mommy, that's Moses. And that's how I'm taken to Teen Challenge, a VCC rehabilitation center in 2013, 9th of December. I am taken to that place, Pastor Patrick. It says, so 9th December, if you go back, 2013 is a Tuesday. 10th is a Wednesday. And 11th is a Thursday. Now, it was a must for all of us to go to that place as addicts. So I'm taken to the house of prayer, the altar. And so I go there and I sit in front and I black out. Now today I know it's called a trance. And it was, so guys had to come and carry me to the car. Like I was carried to the van, the Teen Challenge van. And along the way, that's when, like, they thought I had fainted. So on the Sunday was the 14th, I give my life to Christ. And from that day onwards, it's just been one thing and another thing and another thing. I want to tell you this. Because I was coming from an Islamic background, prayer is forced. So there's just a force of prayer. I didn't understand something when I became a Christian. I understood the grace that was with prayer, that prayer is not forced. But I didn't understand that there was no discipline in that. That just because there was a grace, then we took it for granted. Just because the grace is sufficient. This is Paul's argument. So I want to pick from that and make the same argument on prayer. Paul is making the same argument on sin. I want to make the same argument on prayer. And this, by the way, is far from where I was going. But I feel like God wants to do this. So, Paul says, so shall we then continue in sin just because the grace
is sufficient. And he says, no, God forbid. So then shall we then not pray because there is a grace sufficient? No, I did not understand that. So, because for me, when I became a Christian, then there was a grace to pray more. Not to just pray 5 times a day. There was a grace to pray every second of my life. There was a grace to just go in the realms of prayer, not to just Bismillahi Ar-Rahmani Rahim, and then just recite something that is mystic. I don't even know what it means. But there was a grace to go, which I know, but interact with spirit beings there and ascend to a place in the spirit realm beyond where my own body has capacity to be. That my spirit can ascend in realms that my body will never leave, because it will stay here, but the spirit will ascend there. And I don't have to wait for heaven. Now I can ascend there. And so I made a decision in my heart that every 3 a.m., you know, I will wake up and pray. And let me tell you what believers, Christians called it. They called it Islamic religion. They're like, no, 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 no. You know, here you don't have to pray on schedule. Here you don't have to pray like that. You don't have to say, man, until I raise 3 hours there, I'm not going to leave. They're like, no, 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 no. Here you don't have to do those things. I'm like, what are you talking about? This guy. So if, because I told them this, if I prayed 5 times a day there and I still ended up a drug addict, I still ended up suicidal. I came here. I did not even have to pray any prayer because I did not know how to pray. And I sat in a house of prayer, the altar, like he quotes it. I'm just sitting there. A thing I don't know just comes, takes over me. Over 4 hours, it begins to minister to me. It transforms my life there. Like there are impartations made there. There are covenants decided on there. My future is decided in a place where I am not even doing anything. I am just laying there. And futures are decided. You will be a great man. You will be a minister of the gospel. I will raise you. I will be with you. I will do things through you. Yeah, like things are done there. And I'm telling these guys, why wouldn't I even want to do 10 times more? Not just 5 times, but 10 times more. And beloved, if it's in my strength to even go 3 days, why not? If the ability has been given to me, then why not? Because I did it there. And beloved, you don't have to have done it there. You know, someone said to me, I wish I was a Muslim so that I can understand that. No, 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 no. It's not that. It's not that. Beloved, so I won't go there. I made a decision in my heart, in my life, that I will pray till heaven come. So whether you're going to call it religion, and this is me, no goals, because my commitment was clear. God, if you save me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I remember going to my father, Haji Ismail, and he looks at me, he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. He's like, you know, you're different. I tell him, Daddy, let me tell you the secret. If you can allow me to pray in your home every single day, this that I am is just going to keep increasing. When I was getting married, now my family, they're not just Muslims. They are spiritual.
Yeah.
Now Bukunja is where we come from. And we don't just actually, one of my singers tells me, Moses, I was 16. She comes to me, she's like, the spirits have told me to start orienting you. You're the next in line. You're the guy that the mantles, the spirits of the family have chosen to sit on. So she's the one that's carrying those mantles. You know, the thing is, no, when Pastor was saying, actually I think it was Pastor Alex, when he was saying that, you know, on anything there is a mantle. And one of the things we don't realize, that even on them there is a mantle still. And that mantle is the light for them. For them. So even for us. So anyways. She starts taking me to the shrines and all these things. This woman on my wedding day. I'm fast forward. On my wedding day, she comes to give a speech. Now, if I told you her husband's name, you know him. So I won't tell you his name because of this other story. They have four children. They had four. Three were sacrificed. And of those three, all those three, they had brain damage. One, and God actually showed me this before this happened. One died. I remember I got a dream on Wednesday. A snake was swallowing him. I went, I woke them up. I told them, hey, come see your boy. He's being swallowed up. They told me, let these things be. You do not understand. On Friday, Thursday night, Friday morning, I receive a call. The boy has died. I turned to my wife because it's my wife who woke me out of that dream. I was shaking in the dream. I tell her on Friday morning, the boy has died. She could not believe it. She tells me, Moses, make one promise to me. You will never take my children there. Because for her, she knows these are not just playing games. These things are real. So she's like, just make this one promise to me. I tell her, it's okay, I make the promise. But anyways, she's at my wedding. She gives a speech. She tells this to my wife. She tells her, I'm going to give you one instruction. Never disturb him when he prays. Let him pray the way he wants. Because we saw a man who did not pray. And he was a drug addict. He was a thief. He was everything worse. And then he disappears for 1 year. They don't know I was in a rehabilitation center. He comes back as a man praying. And we see a man, when we are sick, we no longer go to the hospital, we go to him. Because she would literally come to me. She's like, I have a back issue. Pray for me. And I would pray for her in Jesus' name. And she would receive healing. So, I've been praying. I've not stopped to pray. From the time I gave my life to Christ. Last year in December, 13th of December, 2023, I made 10 years. And I've been praying. And as I was talking to Pastor of things that, you know, God has made clear this year, God is calling the church to a place of prayer. That's it. And, you know, we've never done this, at least not at the church level. Of course, we have that house of prayer, so there's prayer going on every single day.
in that house of prayer all the time. You can literally go there now and there will be people praying and just the presence there. So, but at the church level of where we tell our church members that we're having 21 days of where we're going to pray every day. We had never done that. So at the start of this year, we tell our church members for 21 days, we are going to pray morning and evening. Exactly like you guys have been doing it. Now you think that's a coincidence that Vive did that, VCC did that, and there are so many other churches. Like in that same way of where prayer and fasting was not just hunger strike. The church decided that we are going to pray and fast. So we chose to pray. Like you guys in the morning, 4 a.m., were online till 6 a.m. And then in the evening, we were in the church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Physical and online every single day. This was Monday to Monday. So whether it was a Sunday, Saturday, we were in the church praying. So on Sunday, people had to come back in the evening to pray. Come in the morning to pray. So, you know, allow me to say this. I really feel that our forefathers who named coming to church on Sunday, let us go to pray, disturbed us a bit. Because we don't come here on Sunday and we call this prayer. No. Otherwise, we teach the culture that that's what you do. Not at home. Not in your altar. No. We don't come to church and then, you know, pastor leads us in a prayer and we call that, I went and I prayed. No. I went and I fellowshipped. And I enjoyed the presence of God. But when I go back home, I am going to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every single day of my life. And so, I want us to pray. That's all I want us to do in my remaining time. I want us to spend some time praying. If you have my slide, go to... So we've been doing this slide. If you can go to the first slide. We've been doing this series, Pray Until Something Happens. Yeah, this is what we've been doing as VCC. If you can go to the next slide. So here, could you turn down the slides a bit, if it's okay? But if it's for the online community, please don't turn them down. I will adjust my site. So now, one of the things, God, the message, like when you look at the calendar, the Greek calendar, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's the threshing floor. It's the year of the threshing floor, and it's a season. It's going to propel like for 3 years. It's a season, a threshing floor period. Now, the message God gave me and gave us for our church was that this is going to be a year of the bountiful harvest. Now, Pastor told us the season, the year message God gave you is the year of the great harvest. You know, when Pastor Isaac just came and said, Pastor Alex, we cannot just be praying for God a car when there are 4 billion people who don't have a picture. No, I'm taking that back with me. Of Christ. And I'm believing God for a car. I'm not saying those things are bad. They are good. But I will not desire that. I will not, like Pastor Patrick says, they will follow this desire for the bountiful harvest. Now, this is one of the things I felt with the exponential. When you said it to me, This this is what came to me. Because one of the things God spoke to me about is that this is a year of achieving the maximum highest level attainable for the church. And for you, I believe this is your definition of this year. Exponential. This is your definition, that you will achieve the maximum highest potential level available there for you to get to. This year, you will get to it. Because it's the threshing floor season. And in the threshing floor season, there's a wheat being thrown up, and the chaff, the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing the chaff out. And so as we stir up prayer in the church, the wind of the Holy Ghost is coming in. It's blowing out the chaff. And you know what's happening? The wheat remains pure. And when the wheat remains pure, when the church remains pure, the church only has one place to go: higher and higher and higher and higher.